Hello, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell, and welcome to the Freedom Writers Podcast. Today's show features my conversation with Samuel DePace, a celebrated student author from our new book, Dear Freedom Writer. Samuel, or Sam, as I affectionately refer to him, is a trans male. Sam candidly discusses what it was like to grow up feeling out of place in his own body, and how he ultimately found the strength to live his truth. Sam's courage and authenticity are truly inspiring, and I hope this episode will leave you feeling enlightened and empowered to make a difference. For many people, respectfully using someone's preferred name or pronouns might seem inconsequential. For many of us, myself included, remembering which pronouns to use can be difficult. However, it's important that we make the effort to get it right, because for anyone who identifies as trans or gender nonconforming, being called by the wrong name or the wrong pronoun can be extremely painful and invalidating. Today's guest, Sam DePace, knows the struggle all too well. In his Dear Freedom Writer letter, Sam reminds us, quote, "He, they are not my preferred pronouns, they are my pronouns, period." As Sam emphatically explained, using the correct pronouns is not just a matter of politeness, it's a matter of respect. And for the transgender community who are living in a world that often doesn't see or accept them, that respect can make all the difference. Before we started our interview, I asked Sam to please hold me to account and correct me if I got his pronouns wrong, because it was a powerful reminder of how important it is that we all make the effort to get it right. Sam's journey to self-discovery was not an easy one. After serious soul-searching during the pandemic, Sam found the strength to come out as a transgender male to his family, friends, teachers, and classmates, and finally started living life as his true, authentic self. Despite the challenges he's faced, Sam remains hopeful for the future. As a fierce advocate for the full spectrum of the LGBTQIA+ community, Sam is determined to help make the world a more accepting and inclusive place for all. Without further ado, here's my enlightening conversation with Samuel DePace. In this time of politics and pundits, oftentimes people label and stereotype and make gross generalizations about people they've never met, had conversations with. And today I am in a classroom in New York at the Center for Community Adjustment, sitting knee to knee with a brilliant, beautiful activist by the name of Sam DePace. And what I want to do is, your journey was so unique and beautiful that your teacher, Megan Abruzzo, recommended you to be one of the 50 authors in Dear Freedom Writer. And I was yearning for this story without even knowing that I was going to meet you. And so you had a unique perspective about who you are. So let's start with what you think is important for people to know about your identity.
Well, I think the most important thing is when I start like a new school year or a new job, I say I'm Sam, and I know my birth certificate may say this and the information I give you may say this, and you don't even say it myself. I hate hearing it, which is why it's referred to as a dead name, as if it's dead, it doesn't exist. But I identify as a male. I just turned 18, so I haven't started testosterone yet. And I'm planning to, like, saving up money and stuff so I can get it, because my insurance only will cover half of it.
What I'm hoping for is people will listen to your truth and your narrative with a really open mind and an open heart. So I want to start at the beginning with a birth certificate. A birth certificate is a name that parents choose, and you have chosen your own name and your own identity. And so I think that's really important for people to understand that what's on your birth certificate, it doesn't reflect how you feel and who you know to be true, who you are.
The name, to me, it doesn't feel right to me. Now, I don't feel comfortable sharing my dead name because, again, dead to me doesn't exist. So for me, it was not really hard to change my name. And when I started here at CCA, I was not yet out, and I only started to discover myself halfway through that year. And when I first came into Mr. Brusso's classroom, I thought everyone would be like, oh, trans kid in the class. Oh, that's so annoying. But two of the students were actually really like supportive and were like, oh, cool. And Ms. Abruzzo brought up the whole freedom runner thing, because I think I had told her first before I even told my classmates. So we kind of introduced me as Samuel, being like, hey guys, so Sam is going to be writing the freedom runners about being trans. Oh yeah, so Sam's trans, by the way. And everyone was super supportive, and then I came out fully at school.
For people who live in other countries or not as exposed, what does trans mean to you? Because I really want you to educate me, but you're also going to educate our audience.
I feel it's someone's finding of their true self. And this is not even me trying to come at you or anything, but you say choose. When a lot of the time people do choose their pronouns and choose which ones to use, but your identity is what you're born with. And just like how there's genetic deformations and stuff, it's almost like the wrong sex was assigned to the person. So for me, my mind was always a boy, but my body showed otherwise. So I didn't choose to be a boy just because I wanted to. I've always felt that way.
Sam, what I love that you just did, and I'm going to continue to ask you to do so, is as an educator, I often feel like a student when I'm exposed to something that I didn't learn in a textbook or at school or even in my family. And what I have always loved and appreciated about you is when I make a mistake, that you gently correct me, and you do so in a way that makes me pause and reflect. And so in my place of trying to be respectful, if I've said something, a pronoun or a reference that's incorrect, I love that you call me at it. So throughout this interview, please do so. We spent the entire day at your school, and I did make mistakes, and you did correct me in front of your classmates. So I'm really looking at this interview as a way to educate me so that I can help educate others. And so I love that you said that you have always felt that you are a boy. And I think that's really important for people to understand that it wasn't just a choice. You didn't just wake up one day, but it's always been a part of who you are and your identity. So if it's always been a part of who you are and your identity, what was that push and pull from a birth certificate and all of those gender stereotypes that we as society impose upon children?
Now, that is something I was also going to go into like right after, so I'm glad you brought it up. For the first 5 years of my life, I had an all-pink room, princess everything, Barbie dolls. Now, I loved collecting the holiday Barbie dolls, and I feel like there is really no gender assigned to a piece of fabric, clothes, or a toy or anything, but it is marketed to boys and girls. But that's really just putting a name or a gender on an item. It's still just plastic, and a person is still just a person who likes something. Just like how there are a lot of women NASCAR drivers, cars are like a boy's thing, but they still love it, and they're still very feminine women. And so growing up, I loved collecting the Barbie dolls, but I always hated that my room was pink, and I loved Disney like princesses growing up. So I would dress up as them all the time, and my hair was grown down to like my back. And my mom used to put it up in like this slick back ponytail because I hated having it in my face. And when I look at it now, I'm like, I probably hated having such long hair. But it's funny because now I still have relatively long hair for a guy, but I am so comfortable with my hair. My hair is such an important part to me, so I don't want to cut it. And people ask me all the time, like, oh, if you're a guy, then why do you leave your hair so long? And why do you dye your hair? And why do you do this, and that? And I'm like, because there shouldn't be, oh, guys have to have this haircut, or this haircut. It's anyone can have whatever they want. Just like it's always been normal for like women to have like pixie cuts, and no one ever really thought anything of it. Like, yeah, they might got some like backlash for it, but it was never like, oh my God, that's so weird. And when I look at like cisgendered men that have long hair, no one really says anything about it. But because I'm a trans man who keeps a feminine haircut, it's seen as me not really being true to my self-made identity.
For our audience that may not be as progressive in terminology, when you refer to cis man versus trans man, can you also educate us on the differences?
So cisgender is when someone is born a male or female, and in their brain is what they were born and assigned as. And then a trans man or trans woman is someone who was born in like the wrong body, but their brain is the opposite. So like a cis man would be what everyone sees as a regular man. And a trans man would be someone who transitioned from a female to a male.
As an English teacher, words like regular and normal make me bristle.
Which is why
they're hard. I wanted to clarify, because for those that can't see this interview, what Sam did was the air quotes. And when you hear words like regular or normal, does it make you bristle as well, that it's imposing something that's supposed to be the status quo? And I love that you go against supposed to be's.
Now, my extended family is a lot more conservative, and everyone ignores that I've told them. I've told my grandmother, who then told everyone else, and one of my aunts, who she's been the most supportive for me. I've talked with her about the book. She's asked so many questions, and she's like, I'm so proud of you. You've grown up so much, because a few years ago, I was in a really rough point. I literally thought I was going to come to the school and drop out. I was not planning on staying here, and now I'm here, and I'm doing a college course, and I'm doing a bunch of outside courses to make sure I can graduate this year. And I'm trying to do everything I can to not fail. And I've always seen myself as like a failure. My whole thing was, I don't want to disappoint my dad. So I've been overworking myself, but I'm also doing it for myself.
I just told you I don't like words like regular and normal. And I don't like words like failure. Because Sam, you're brilliant. I know it, you know it, your teachers know it. And if you don't know it, I want to continue to tell you so. But do you think part of that failing of a class was because teachers weren't respecting you, or you were uncomfortable in the school settings?
When I was at my lowest was before I even was thinking about like my identity. And a lot of it I learned right before I came here, but I kept it to myself for a while because I didn't want to be that kid. But I came to find out that there's a lot of queer kids in the school, and they are here because they had struggled in public schools with bullying and being excluded from things and not having a bathroom to themselves and not being able to use a bathroom at all, or being forced to use the wrong bathroom.
How would you describe what that kid is? Because as a teacher, I think we all need to help that kid. So being that kid, you were in a school situation where they were probably bathrooms that said boys, girls, male, female. And when you wrote about it in your story, I thought, I want people to really understand that. That's something that should be so natural must have been so problematic for you at your other schools.
Yeah, but I wasn't out at my other school. So for a while, I just labeled myself as a lesbian, even though I didn't like girls that much, because I thought maybe I feel so masculine because I like women. So I embraced my masculinity thinking it's because I'm a lesbian, which when I look back now, I'm like, I didn't even really like girls that much. So, and I actually see a lot of trans men go through that process of being a straight woman to a bisexual woman to a lesbian, and then realizing, I am not masculine because I'm a lesbian. I am masculine because I am a man. And so the way it is here, it's one person goes in the bathroom in general. So you could really use any bathrooms. But we have multiple gender-neutral bathrooms, and then we have a boy and a girl bathroom. And since I came out here, I've been using the men's one. And even though it is just a room with a toilet and a sink, it feels so good to walk into the one that says boys rather than the one that says girls. And in public, I feel that hesitation of walking into a bathroom. And a lot of the times I use the family bathroom or I use the girls' bathroom because I'm scared to go into the men's bathroom thinking that someone might make a comment to me or say, I think you're in the wrong bathroom. So I just didn't go to the bathroom because I was like, two people think I'm in the wrong bathroom, so I'm just not going to go. And there was no family restroom there.
I just opened up the book, Dear Freedom Writer, and I'd love for you to read maybe this paragraph here. I think it's so wonderful because it talks about what you call the little things. Would you mind just reading this paragraph?
I just like to hold on to the little things. Like when I go into school and my teacher greets me with my preferred name, or another student says he instead of she. Oh my God, the euphoria I get when using the men's bathroom feels so validating. But even with all those good things, there are bad things. being on the girls' team in gym and being called miss and she and girl. Anything like that, it kills me. And I know cis people will never understand that. They are lucky enough to be content with their gender and feel that their body represents them. And they don't understand what I would do to feel that way.
It's a powerful paragraph.
Yeah. It is true, though. Like, I used to say that I would kill myself to be reborn as a cis male just so I could live my life how I wish. But now I don't say that, and I don't want to kill myself. I just wish I could have lived my whole life the way that I felt. But I'm happy to be loved by my family and be seen as a male by my friends and my partner and people I love. And that's how I know that they really love me, because they don't care who I am, what I am, or anything. They love me because I'm Sam. Even my grandfather, who doesn't really get the whole concept of, like, queer people, still says that he loves me because he's loved me since I was little, and he will love me for the rest of my life, no matter what my name is or what I prefer to be called, because he loves me for me. And like I would want to say to a principal, administration, anyone, a personality doesn't change with an identity. A person is the same person they are and who they've been. They just use a different name and a different pronoun. And that shouldn't change the way you think of the person in total, because your son, daughter, or child is the same person they were before. Now they just feel comfortable enough to tell you. And the fact that they feel so comfortable should mean you should accept them even more, because they felt like you would accept them. So they told you. And the fact that you don't is probably really hurting them. And you don't want them to hurt themselves because they feel stuck. Because feeling stuck is the worst thing.
Interestingly, when we were reading the letters that were submitted for Dear Freedom Writer, there was a lot of discussion behind the scenes with Freedom Writer teachers and Freedom Writers about any of the stories that were about the LGBTQIA plus community when there were hints of phobias and internal phobias and even phobias within the community. So do you wrestle with those as well, like internally for yourself and then externally for people that are transphobic?
Yeah, definitely in the beginning of my transition, I knew what transgender was. I used to watch the show I Am Jazz, but I never really thought into it until I was on social media a lot. It almost seemed like they were gatekeeping it. Like when I talked about how I kind of feel like that, they're like, no, you probably don't. And then so I stopped being friends with them. I really took time to think about it myself. And I was like, I started identifying as a male online to see how it felt. And it felt so good. I felt so happy. And because it's online, no one had to really know. So people saw he, him in my bio and thought, okay, this is just some guy. Because I never said I was trans. I just changed it all. And so I felt that, but I then, like, I still felt in person myself. I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't tell this person because I don't want them to look at me differently. A lot of people, when they find out that you're trans or you're gay, even if they say they support it, they have that weird vibe to them where they never really act the same that they did before. And I've gotten a lot of backlash from other people in the LGBTQ plus community that say, I'm not a real trans man because I am not rushing to get surgeries or go on testosterone, when I only just turned 18. So I could have gone on testosterone easier, but my dad, like, he wanted me to wait till I'm 18 so I could do it all myself. And it was just with my insurance and stuff, it was just like a mess.
Having met your dad, I'm so impressed at how supportive he is. And in the community in which you live, that has conservative relatives and an Italian background and Catholicism, I love that your father stands up for you.
Yeah, my dad is like my best friend. Anyone who knows me knows I'm really close with my dad. And when they meet my dad, they're like, you and your dad are so alike. And when I was 11, I first told him I was bi. I was like, I'm bisexual, I like guys and girls. And he was like, okay, you didn't have to tell me, like, just, like, do what you want. He was, like, taken aback that I, like, told him. I was like, oh, well, I just wanted to make sure you wouldn't hate me. And he was like, I would never hate you or something like that. Like, that stuff doesn't really matter to me. But he wasn't really in the know about that stuff. So then when I came out to him as trans, he's like, what does that mean? So I explained it to him, and he worked on it. And it took him a while, but he came around, and now he stands up to me to this day, to my doctors, when we meet new people. He even corrects my aunts and uncles that don't support me and will be like, I don't know why you keep saying she, like, you know, Sam is a boy. And a few months ago, he heard something on the radio about how a lot of trans youth commit suicide. And he told me he pulled over and started sobbing in the car. And it broke his heart because he was so scared. What if I didn't support Sam and he committed suicide? And we had had a suspicion that one of my cousins was trans because we had noticed that they started binding, which is when someone wears a material that flattens their chest to appear more masculine. And my aunt had mentioned something, and their father is very, very conservative and talks very openly about how he's racist and how he hates Black people. And he says that gay is wrong and the church says it's bad. He doesn't even go to church. I think he just uses it as an excuse for his homophobia and everything. And so my dad went to the house and sat down with my aunt and uncle and talked to them, saying, if you don't support them, you never know what could happen. They could kill themselves. And my uncle literally said, I don't care. My daughter is a girl. I don't know if maybe he didn't believe that it would lead to suicide or he really didn't care. Almost as he was so ashamed to have a trans child that he'd rather them be dead. And my dad was telling me this, like, his voice was cracking. He was so emotional. And I was like, that made me like so happy because I'm so happy to see my dad advocating for trans people as a cis straight male. And I wanted to write a paper. I started it last year and I have so many things I started writing but stopped. And I wanted to write it to the Texas governor since they just came out with that Texas law that if you support your trans kid, it's child abuse. And I had this whole thing prepared and I had all these thoughts in my brain, but it was so hard to put it onto the paper and to type it out. But I really want to advocate. I was talking about it earlier. I haven't gone through as bad things as other people have, but I have gone through things. So I do understand what some people go through. And I've always advocated for myself since I was in middle school because I realized these people don't really care. Their job is to advocate for me, but no one really knows if they're doing it correctly. So they just half-ass it. They don't actually want to help me.
When it comes to clothing and it comes to choices that you make, what makes you feel good about clothing now that you don't have to have pink frilly taffeta and you're not in that pink room anymore with the Barbies and the princess dolls? What is it like for you to say, this makes me feel good or this looks good on me?
It's really like liberating, even though since I was in about middle school and started wearing my own clothes, even elementary when I started going with my grandmother to buy my clothes. She did force religion because she was used to it. An Italian grandmother, she was like, okay, time for your communion. And she got me this big puffy dress and I cried and she forced me to take pictures. But I don't think she understood why I felt that way. And I didn't even understand. So to me, she thought I was just being like a rebellious kid who was like, oh, I don't want to do anything with the church. But to me, I felt scared in church. The things I heard sounded so like sad. And it was at the end of elementary school that I really was like, the church and the students and the parents have always said these weird comments about these things. And that's why I was scared to say anything until I moved and I was just with my dad. And when I started buying my own clothes, I got basketball shorts and jeans and graphic tees from the Levi's section in like Walmart. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so much more comfortable. I stopped wearing like normal bras and I would wear tight sports bras, which I never really realized what I was doing until now when I actually do bind as a trans man. I always just did it because I was like, oh, I don't even want boobs. Like, they're just annoying. They're just like in the way and stupid.
Now that you're 18, do you think you at some point will do top surgery? Is that something that's on this journey of yours?
I definitely do. I don't know if I want to do the whole thing because I am like a pretty heavy set guy. So I wouldn't want a full flat because it wouldn't look natural. And even though I would have the scars, I would want to do something so it still looks natural. And as for bottom surgery, I don't like the options that are out right now. Like, I would rather feel comfortable with my whole body and what is seen by the public. Because when I look in the mirror, I know what I am and I feel it inside. So I don't need to have that be confirmed by what I actually see under my clothes.
I think for youth, representation is so important. And as someone who's listening to this podcast, hopefully someone can listen and say, oh my God, I have someone who's saying things that I've never been able to articulate, or I'm learning more about myself. So when it comes to representation, what do you need to see and what do you need to hear in the media, on television or movies, that normalizes what has for the longest time been shielded from audiences.
I think a lot of shows, as much as they give this like really good representation, they overdo it just to get this gratification from the media and to see all these people being like, oh my God, Euphoria has a trans character in it and the actor is a trans woman, which I really like. And now with companies during Pride Month, they have all these branded things for it. And as soon as it is the end of Pride Month, it's all gone.
I went back and watched some of the films that were popular in the 80s and 90s. And I thought, oh, I didn't notice that when I was a kid. But as an adult who's learning and evolving, these are really problematic stereotypes. So have you ever seen something that felt like a gross generalization or a shameless stereotype?
Definitely. I actually experienced something last night. I was on social media, and I don't know how we got into the conversation, but one of my mutuals on Twitter, he was saying something about how he doesn't trust gay men because they have crushes on him and then they don't know how to leave him alone to the point that he has to beat them up. And he says, I'm so glad that I carry a gun on me. His whole thing is he's generalizing and saying, almost all gay men have crushes on me and don't leave me alone and harass me, and then I have to kill them or hurt them or shoot them, whatever. So then I rebutted with, oh, yeah, I don't really like straight guys. I basically said everything he said, but saying straight instead. And he was like, that's so dumb. That makes no sense. I'm not like that. And I'm like, well, I'm not a weird gay guy who's going to harass you. And his whole thing was he saw gay people as monsters, which to me is not funny in a ha-ha way, but funny like, what the heck? Because whenever you see a sexual assault, it's usually a man to a woman or a woman to a man. Or it's a straight man sexually assaulting a gay man because of his sexuality. Like,
For the power and the sex.
Right. To make them feel less than. And I'm sure it happens, but it's not because of that.
When you hear about children's books that are being banned. Heather Has Two Mommies was a popular book. A lot of schools right now, especially during an election year, are removing books from libraries and from schools. How do you feel about that? That these books that were written in earnest to educate are now being banned, burned, and censored?
It's really frustrating because if there was a book saying, oh, well, this kid has a different skin color, so we don't even hang out with him. In like a kid's book or something, I feel like there would be some kind of excuse. And eventually it probably would be taken down or banned or whatever, but not as fast as a book talking about a young boy who actually dresses like a girl and says that they're a girl to the classmates. And I see books like that all the time on social media when they're like, this is my book I wrote, please share it. I have worked so hard on this because my son was born a girl and I wrote the book so other kids would read it and not make fun of my son for it.
Earlier when you were referring to your family member who has not openly identified to the family, respectfully, you use the words they and them.
I am not sure of the identity. Now, my partner, who is non-binary, actually at a family thing went up to them because they had a Deftones t-shirt on, which my partner listens to the music, and they started talking. And my partner had known that we also kind of thought this way. So they threw in the conversation, oh, hey, look, give me your Instagram. Oh, by the way, what are your pronouns? And my cousin was like, oh, he, him. And they said, I also prefer to go by Tristan. But he said, but please don't use it because my dad will get really mad at me.
So let's talk about that. And it's such a sensitive thing that your partner alluded to because on screens now and Zoom meetings or even on name tags, oftentimes you'll see chosen pronouns. And what does that feel like when you are able to, on a screen, do he and him, when you can refer to somebody as a they and them?
It feels good. I feel like I'm seen. And especially now, I'll be making doctor's appointments and they'll be like, what is your legal name? Do you have a preferred name? What are your preferred pronouns? What is your birth sex? And I'm like, wow, this feels so good. And at some of my doctors, they have a cover name. So it says Samuel, but when you uncovered it, it says my actual name for legal stuff. So it only pops up for legal stuff. So if I have a doctor or a nurse, they say, Samuel? And they call me in and they're like, Samuel DePace, right? And I'm like, Sometimes they take like a double take, which happens a lot, but they don't second guess me. I've never had someone say something. But I remember at the symposium, I was like, oh, I really wish I had pronouns on here. So me and Lexi had written he, him on mine and she, her on hers. And I remember at the book signing, I had wrote it on my thing.
And as we evolve as an organization, we have another symposium coming up. So we'll have to incorporate that. I've always asked my students to question authority. And it must be hard when you question authority and they say no. It's got to be liberating when they say yes. So talk about the empathy that you have for those that feel that they can't come out because they'll be punished.
I feel so bad because I'm so grateful that I am in a place where I can be like that, which is why I choose to advocate so much for this kind of stuff. I don't have a big platform on any social media, but I...
Now, but maybe then.
I really hope. I really do want to write something like something big.
You should write a book. It doesn't matter the length. You're an activist, so you can create the platform you want.
And I just, like, when I see some of my friends on social media from liking certain pop culture things, a lot of people that like it live in different places. And they're like, yeah, no one knows I'm trans here. If I said something, I'd probably get beaten up. And even if I said something to my parents, my brother, like, they literally tell no one. So on social media, like I was when before I first came out, they are this person, but as soon as they're off the screen or off their phone, they're back to who they were born as and what they're forced to be.
So for someone who was never physically bullied myself, I have great empathy for kids who are afraid of that physical bullying. So can you talk about what it was like to have been bullied and be aware of classmates here at this very school who've also been bullied and how tragic that is?
I thankfully have not really received too much hateful backlash in the school, but unfortunately there are some students here who say whatever they want, and they say it loud and proud, and they wind up getting punched in the face for it, and then they play the victim, and it sucks, and there's nothing I can do about it. I don't want to resort to violence. I used to be a very violent person, and even outside of school, I have my moments, but I've definitely learned to use my words and have my words be what people see rather than an angry face or a screaming kid. I want people to hear what I have to say and hear how I say it and how maturely I say it so they understand what I mean. And in my experience, I've had a lot of kids from my high school that find my social medias and they leave comments or they screenshot stuff talking about whatever and they post it on their Snapchat stories and they go, LOL, look at this F word or slurs and saying these things.
For the audience, since we're learning about stuff, what are some of the horrific slurs that are attached with the community?
The only reason I'm going to say it is because they apply to me, which is a big thing in the community. A lot of people reclaim them and use them so they don't have that negative connotation. Like how a lot of Black people reclaim the N-word, and kind of like they do that, a lot of people reclaim it, and some people use it to joke around. I did, but not. I don't really use it. But I've been called a faggot a lot, and I've been called a tranny, which is making fun of a trans person. And some people thought that tranny is like an endearing kind of thing, being like, oh my God, you're so cute, like tranny. But it actually is a horrible thing. And a long time ago, in like the 90s, when trans women would be walking in the street, they'd be called that and have things thrown at them. And people scream these things at them in these horrific, horrible names and like terms. And they hurt them. And people say it all the time on social media. And they say, well, it's not like it's the N-word. There's nothing really wrong with it. But I'm like, but just like the N-word, it is attacking people of a certain culture or a certain group. And I don't think homophobia and transphobia and all that stuff can compare to anything that Black people have gone through in the past. But I think, especially now, Black trans people get the worst treatment. So many Black trans women have been killed and shot, and they see it as just a normal drive-by shooting when there's an obvious motive to it.
Like a hate crime.
Yes.
You mentioned that your partner is non-binary. And in the spirit of educating our listeners, can you explain to our listeners what a cisgender, cis male or cis female is? Explain to those that don't know what non-binary
means. Non-binary is someone who doesn't really feel like a boy or a girl. If you think about it in a spectrum, like a number line, it goes from 1 to 10. 1 is male and 10 is female. And 5 is non-binary. You feel kind of in the middle. Or it's a separate spectrum where you don't feel anything. You just kind of feel like a person. And it basically means you don't want to have a certain gender assigned to you. And you dress however you want. And my partner is non-binary, but dresses very feminine and often gets called a girl because they like to wear dresses and makeup. And they have long, nice, like not super long, but nice hair. They love dressing feminine, but they don't feel like a girl. They're not a girl. They don't want to be a girl.
And is your partner's chosen pronouns they and them?
They have, like at work, they use a different name. They use their birth name, which to them, they're having a little bit of a growth moment. They're learning more about themselves and they're also having a hard time figuring it out. But to me, they say, call me Andrew, and use they, them. But at work, they use a different name and they use she, her. Because at work, they feel comfortable that way. That's what everyone at work knows. And so, as weird as it might seem, it kind of, for them, it's easier to do that at work. But also, they don't feel so uncomfortable with them calling them she and by a different name. And I think right now where they are, they don't see their birth name as a dead name. They see it as a second, less liked name. But with me, I've known them as Andrew. And when we first started dating, they used they, them, and he, him. And everyone in school knows them as he. But new teachers call them she, and I am, you know, an advocate, and I hate seeing people not represented the way they want to. So after my partner leaves the room, I'm like, they use they, them.
I saw today, which was so empowering, is in your advocacy and being an ally, you lift people up, and there was no pettiness. It was a room full of like-minded folk. And if someone made a mistake and we easily took accountability and were corrected, it wasn't punitive on your part. And you mentioned when I'm an activist. You are an activist. Like, you just got to own it. So
I feel like because I only am one to like teachers and stuff, that I really am not, because I don't do anything publicly.
You wrote a book.
Okay,
you have a platform. You're on this podcast. So now that you are identified as someone who has a platform, what is something that you want an audience member to take away? Say they vote differently than you. You know, you're going to vote this November, which is very exciting now that you're 18 and you did your research. But maybe they vote differently than you. And maybe they go to a different religious affiliation than you. Or they live in a different state than you. What could somebody take away that might not have exposure to you and other people who identify as he, him, she, her, they, them, that they could take away to normalize and take away these horrible stereotypes that make us use words like regular and normal? And let's move away from those terms.
I want people to realize that just as they were born a male or a female and still feel like that, my brain feels that same way. My body doesn't match it. And also, I don't understand why people have such an issue with it, because no one is telling them they have to be trans. You have to transition. You have to be gay. You can be wherever you want. And I don't know why people are so bothered by others being who they are and living their life as they want to be happy and comfortable. Like, it's sad, because it's like, why you as a human, why would you want to tear down other humans and stop them from living their best life and living so happy and good? Why does it, and I wrote it in my book, I don't know why it affects everyone so much. Like, why is it so hard for them just to respect a person? No one is forcing anything on you. We just want to be seen as people, just as you are. We respect everyone. And if we don't, it's probably because you don't respect us. And for the people that see trans as just a choice, it's not a choice. Many trans people and non-binary people have felt this off balance in their life throughout their whole life. And it just takes a while for their brain to process it. And like I said earlier, it's not a trend to be trans or gay. It's because now that people talk about it more and more people are out about it, it's known. It's, as much as a lot of people say it's not okay, it is seen by other people as normal and fits into like a lot of people's normality of the world. So they feel more comfortable coming out in this time than they might have years ago. Adults coming out after being married with kids as gay or lesbian or trans feel comfortable now because they see, if all these other people can do it, so can I. I can come out, you know, it could be a coworker at work, you know, being non-binary and using a different bathroom. That makes them realize, huh, that is something. And then they think about it and they're like, wow, I feel like I could be this or that. And being able to feel that way because of all the representation. So I don't like when people say, oh, it's a trend. They're just following what everyone else is doing, because it's not. It's not a trend to feel so internally hated towards yourself because you feel you're in the wrong body, to feel so disgusting looking in the mirror because you don't see the boy that you wish you were or the girl you wish you were, to feel so helpless and in the wrong body to the point that you think about suicide. That's not a trend. Nobody wants to feel that way. And to think that everyone just is doing this just for the fun of it is horrible. And for the people that get surgeries, why would I pay thousands of dollars in surgery and, you know, mess up my whole body just to fit in with the trend? It's like, it doesn't make sense. And it's a life-altering thing that is for the better. It's not to please the media or to please, you know, other trans people. It's to live happily and live freely and live as who you really are.
My last question. Oftentimes we ask some of our guests who are adults to speak to their younger selves or to speak to a younger audience. But I love that we're in your school and I love that you just turned 18. So I'm going to do the exact opposite. I want you to speak to the adult with power. And I want you to envision whether it's a principal or a politician, or a pastor, what can you say to them about what you just said about living?
If I could say anything to anyone, I would say to maybe to a pastor or a priest that they preach that God loves everyone and God made everyone equally and we are his children. And why do they think that trans, queer, gay people are a mistake? If God makes no mistakes, and God loves everyone, why is it so hard for you, someone who loves God and loves what God loves, to accept us? I'm not saying you have to love us and care for us as you would your own kid, but to just accept us and let us live our life. It's not really something so hard. You can even just pretend we don't exist, but you don't have to hate us and preach against us. And if I were to be able to talk to like a teacher or principal who doesn't respect me, I would say respect goes both ways. I'm not going to respect someone who doesn't respect me. Yet I find myself doing it all the time. I fought really hard to get my name changed in our systems and on my accounts. And even though I'm about to graduate, it finally got changed probably like middle of last year. And now every time I log on the computer, I'm like excited to see it pop up, Samuel. And I'm not ashamed. And I don't want to cover the screen. I'm not scared for people to look at the screen while I'm on there. And I'm glad that I have the staff here that support me. But for staff in another school that, you know, want to support but don't know how, just love the kid and support the kid and show that you support. And I know it's hard, especially when you look at someone and you see what you perceive as a girl, but they're a boy. Think, as annoying as it is, think before you say, and eventually it comes so naturally. And just see them as anyone else.
I'm so grateful to Samuel for sharing with us the power of pronouns and the importance of using them correctly. My dear listeners, may we all remember the importance of respecting names and identity. May we continue to fight for a world that is more inclusive and more accepting. And in honor of today's guest, Sam DePace, may we all strive to live life as our true, authentic selves. That concludes our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you for being a part of the Freedom Writer family. If you'd like to read Sam's letter, They Are My Pronouns, or learn more about our new book, Dear Freedom Writer, Stories of Hardship and Hope from the Next Generation, please go to the episode description in your podcast app and click on the links in our show notes. Once again, I'm your host, Erin Gruel. This episode was produced and edited by Matt Martin Hall and Rob Falk. Until next time, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.